Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast, and I really hope our listeners check this episode out. No, it's not a fancy episode on the 1-3-1 or force baseline or zone offense or five out or anything like that. It's an episode on things that I've learned, observations that I've made, and I'm not going to call it advice, but some things that I want to share that I think can help coaches as they head into basketball season, as it's just started for all of us around the country. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And because of that, I was able to work with some different programs. And I stayed up for an extra week because my car needed to get fixed, hitting a deer. And so in the 2 weeks that I spent up in Michigan, I directed 9 basketball practices. Again, I appreciate all the schools that brought me in and paid me to run their basketball practice. Like, it was awesome. I also attended 3 practices, partial practices, or entire practices, and also checked out a scrimmage. So that's 9, 12, 13 different basketball opportunities that I hit up over a 2-week period. Obviously, I'm double dipping on a lot of those with some of the practices and stuff that we checked out. You'll learn a lot when you're in the gym that often with people and coaches and players from a variety of levels, from teams that are hoping to win a league and a district and a regional and make a run in the state tournament, to teams that have a brand new coach, to teams that are trying to find their footing after graduating a lot of pieces, or teams that bring back a lot of experience. So in this episode, I'm sharing a few of the things that I liked, that I picked up, that I would recommend for coaches to use, and some things to work on early in the season to help your team have more success. One team in practice that I went to that I really liked, they had folders. I'm not going to give out names in this episode. You know, I don't want to give anything away with some different teams that we're working with, especially this early in the season. But there's one team that I worked with, and every player brought a folder to practice, just like you bring, you know, a folder, a textbook to a class. And any important documents that the coaches would have them and, you know, want them to keep throughout the course of the season, they would put in their folder, all had their name on it, you know, the team logo on it. And I really liked this. And it was just kind of funny because out of all the teams that we worked with, there was one that, not knowing this, that I printed out 2 handouts that I wanted to share with them and go over them, because it was a very detailed practice that I was directing on screening and ball screens and off ball screens and things of that nature. And so I had some handouts that I printed out. Sure enough, this was the program that had folders. And so for me to be able to give them those handouts, to go through those handouts, to say, hey, you know, put this in their folder. They all grab their handout. They put it in their folder. And then we get into the gym. It was just really cool. Very simple, but very effective. Right. You don't want to give random sheets of paper to your players and expect them to keep everything organized. Just create a folder for every player on your team, make a binder. Some players learn very visually from looking at a sheet of paper. So if you want the play breakdowns, if you want, you know, the 3 points of emphasis for how you play ball screen defense, like, could be anything. That's great for them to have. And they can easily take a quick look at it at different points in time, having it in their folder. So I like that idea. They were the only program I worked with. Again, 9 different basketball practices. There was one that had folders, and I thought that was definitely a keeper. There was another practice I went to, and coaches have a different way of starting practice. And a lot of times when they have a guest in, like myself, they would bring the team in, do a short intro about me, and then they would hand the practice over to me. And I had talked with each of those coaches on what subject they would like me to teach during our practice. But the one coach, I forget exactly what he said, but basically everybody's shooting around before practice. He says something. All the kids hustle over to the baseline. And it was like they repeated something, and then they 2 loud claps. And then it was like dead silent. And I kind of looked at him, and he looked at me. He's like, yeah, we got it. We're ready. I was like, whoa, that was amazing. It wasn't a whistle. It wasn't this disorganized, hey guys, like, come on and come in. The coach had a phrase that he said, and I wish I could remember what the phrase was. The players responded something back. They gave 2 hard, loud claps, and they were locked in. And so it was a learning lesson for me that I want to try to add to my training programs instead of, you know, blowing the whistle or whatever and bringing the kids in and giving them the game plan for the day? Do I have something that I can do like that? It was letting everybody know, hey, we've started, but it also had a lot more energy and I thought positivity to it than calling everybody in and having them huddle up. Like, it was just a really cool thing. So those were two takeaways that I learned that I want to apply even to the players that I train. Like when we start our training program back in the spring, and then again in the fall, and maybe even, I'm not sure yet, with our younger kids, we run our youth basketball league, possibly even by having a folder where they can keep some important things, bring it back each week. Like we had our 50-day challenge we did in the fall, you know, by looking back, not just giving them the 50-day challenge sheets, but giving them a folder to put in. That would have been simple and they could have done that. Having a way to bring them in and build some energy intensity at the beginning of practice. That's something that I want to apply. So two simple ones there. Couple things that I learned from working with teams, and some of these teams were brand new and some of these teams I've been working with for a couple of years. So one, a lot of the practices that I did, I used a ball handling skills and some footwork and some movement as our warm-up. And there were a lot of kids smiling, laughing, being challenged, and also improving and working on their game. And it just kind of made me think, you know, what kind of warm-up drills are most coaches using during practice? That I used what I thought was a pretty general, you know, ball handling warm-up. There were some timed competitive ball handling drills. There was some footwork that we used that the kids seemed like they enjoyed it to that level. Surprised me a little bit. And I just think, well, what are they comparing their warm-up to that they usually do that mine was that much, must have been that much more fun? I'm assuming they're probably not smiling and laughing while and working that hard during most people's warm-up. Maybe not, but just an observation. So is there a way that you can warm your players up, get them loose while they're still working on their skills? Again, all our warm-ups were ball in hand, whether it was skipping, whether it was stationary, working on stance, whether it was different types of footwork. They had a basketball and it seemed like they really enjoyed it. Another thing that I noticed and I wanted to reemphasize after watching game film, and that was, yeah, so I attended a scrimmage. At this point in the year, I've watched 7 different clients for CoachesEdge.coach and our consulting program with shooting for players. I watched 7 games so far. By the time this episode comes out, I'll probably watch 20 high school basketball games. By the time this episode comes out, you learn a lot. Combine that with the, you know, 9 different practices that I had the chance to work with over the past 2 weeks. I'm reminded of fundamentals work. And a lot of times as coaches, I think that we get caught up in strategy. We get caught up in our plays and we assume players should have the fundamental skills down to perform certain things. And a lot of them don't, because I think it's easy for us as coaches to keep passing kids along from lower levels to the higher levels to higher levels until you get to varsity. And we just kind of assume players know certain things or understand like how to set a screen, how to come off of a cut, how to trap. You know, like there was a team we were working with on handling pressure and handling traps. And so we used traps within some of the drills that we used. And then I learned, well, the players don't know how to trap. Like I got to teach them how to trap, how to apply pressure so we can work on handling the pressure. But no, if no one's ever taught them, I wasn't mad at them. It's not their fault. But we assume too much. And that was something that I mentioned to our players as well when I was breaking down some drills that were new. And I said, if a teammate is confused, if someone doesn't know what they're supposed to do, don't assume they're going to figure it out. Help them, talk to them, teach them. Don't get mad at them. Don't say nothing and just assume they're going to figure it out either. Just help. Be a good person. Be a good teammate. And, you know, let your teammate know that after they make a pass, they need to cut down the court, staying wide. Communication is key. Helping one another out. Fundamentals work, and we need to spend more time on those fundamentals. Practice finishing more often. Again, I was reminded as I'm watching these game film, how many misses around the basket do we have to make before we, you know, as heads of different programs decide we need to work on finishing more often. With 1-on-0, show them some moves, show them some footwork, practice the up and under, right? Just because you know it doesn't mean they know it. Just because they may be able to do it, you know, half the time, well, that's not good enough to feel comfortable doing it in a game and executing it. Go 1-on-0, go 1-on-1, go small-sided games, work on a couple finishes around the basket. Right. I was reminded that the post game at the high school level is still alive. Right. There's teams that are posting up in man to man. They're flashing low post in the zone. They're screening the zone and flashing cutters to the block. But boy, I'm seeing a ton of layups missed in those situations. Puppies, ones that are easy to make. We have to spend more time on finishing around the basket. And if you get a lot of those finishes off of entry passes, we need to work on the pass as well, because a lot of turnovers happen right there. Okay. Don't assume passing, screening, cutting. Like there's a drill that we're uploading into the Coach's Edge. It's called the PSC drill, passing, screening, cutting. And there's all these variations of down screens, flare screens, pitches, ball screens, dribble handoffs, and how we cut and how we space. And it's a really good video. And it's kind of a new drill that I made up in the spring. And I really like it. It forces the kids to communicate, to really think. And we end up, you know, given some constraints, and then we end up having them freestyle and figure some things out on their own. But what I've learned after implementing that at many different camps and clinics is even varsity basketball players struggle with passing, screening, and cutting. That's something that I spend time at our camps teaching. And if you don't spend time teaching that during your practices, you could have the best plays diagrammed in the world, but if the players don't know how to pass, screen, cut, those plays aren't going to work, right? So make sure that you're emphasizing those things. A couple other things that stood out to me from watching these seven games thus far, and, you know, some coaches and programs are just starting their first game, you know, as I'm recording this tonight. Some are, you know, quite a ways through the season already. Just depends on where you're at in the United States. But practice against the zone. As I'm watching early season basketball, I'm seeing teams from the offensive side of things struggle against two main things: zone defense and press defense. So looking at, again, I've watched seven games where some of the states, South Carolina, Alabama, Ohio, Michigan, those are the basketball, high school basketball teams that I've watched around the United States so far. Regardless of what part of the country those teams are from, what I've learned is teams are struggling understanding how to attack zones. And if you're not sure how to attack zones as a coach, go to coachesedge.coach, join our membership. We got a 9-part video course on zone offense for 2-3. We got a 5-part video course on attacking the 1-3-1 zone offense. Check it out. Then we got a bunch of quick hitters in there as well. So if you need help coaching against zone, coachesedge.coach can help you. But teams need to work more on practicing against zone. I think it's easy for us early in the season want to work on our man-to-man stuff. And then what happens is we go into a game, a team plays all zone. We haven't put our zone offense in yet, and we end up losing, or we end up struggling. So early in the season, if you spend 75% of the time against man and in practice, 25 against zone, maybe it needs to be more 50-50, right? Until, you know, you start to figure out what your team's going to look like and how you can take advantage of certain zones. Okay, then maybe you go back towards man-to-man if that's, you know, the higher level teams you're going to have to play man-to-man. But working on some zone a little more often is going to help you. And then practicing breaking the press. I'm guilty of this. I know a lot of other coaches are guilty of this. When we're working on our offense, a lot of times it's half court. But then I watch these games and I see how much offense is transition. It's with more speed. the possession has already been determined, and it's not a walk it up into half court. It's not a inbound it at half court and run your set. This is fluid. And if we spend too much time working on the half court and not enough time working on I don't even want to call it a fast break, but just the transition from defense to offense, where a lot of offensive plays have already kind of started to organize themselves and then finish with a shot, or in some cases a turnover. We need to practice those more often. And especially when it comes to handling pressure, teams are getting you out of your half court offense because they're going out to get you. And so if that's you as a basketball coach and as a basketball team, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time working on my half court offense, right? I'm going to work on beating the press. What are the presses that teams are giving us? We're going to spend a lot of our offensive time focused on beating the press. Because if teams are going to come out to get us, we're not going to be able to run our half court stuff anyway. And if you look at the entire course of a game, you're going to realize how few possessions actually took place within a basic half court set. And then you're going to ask ourselves, did those few possessions determine the game, the outcome of the game, or did how we handle their pressure determine the outcome of the game? And if the answer to that is the game was determined by how we handled the ball pressure and pressing and traps, that tells me that's what we need to spend more time on within our offense. And so that's something that I picked up as well from watching all these games. One of the teams that I consult with runs a 1-1-3 defense. And I really like that. Like, I don't know if I've seen anybody running a 1-1-3 defense, but let's say the ball is dribbling down towards the seam or the top and a player has picked him up, even near half court. You got another player at the foul line. Ball gets swung to one of the wings. The bottom person in the three from the side comes up to take the ball until the person at the high post comes over and pushes them down. And then that person on the three goes back to the baseline. The person who was up top bumps down to the foul line. And if the ball goes back up to the top, the person from the foul line bumps up and takes the person at the top of the key. The person who is guarding the ball on the wing bumps back down to the foul line. Now, if you're guarding the ball from the top in that situation, right, and the ball then gets swung in the half court. Now, we're not talking in the transition like I mentioned earlier. Now, if I have the person at the top and they pass across to, say, the right side of the court, I follow along. So I'm on the right. That was on the top. They pass to the right. I follow the ball to the right. The person on the bottom of the three comes up to take the wing until I can get there. They bump back down. I'm guarding the person on that right wing. Right wing passes it up to the top of the key. The person on the foul line then bumps up to take the person at the top of the key. I would fill in and go from wing down into the post. And so those players are interchangeable. And then those wings are bumping up to take the bottom players on the baseline are bumping up to take the catch on the wing until the person from the high post can get there and bump them back down. And boy, did that give the opponent a lot of trouble with that 1-1-3 defense. And so that was pretty cool. We might have to dig into that a little more with some of our coaches' edge, you know, members meetings and things like that. And one of the other things that I thought was just like, let's give a lot of love to these officials. As I'm watching a lot of high school basketball games around the country, the age of these officials is up there. And it has me worried a little bit that, you know, there's not a new crop of officials coming up to fill their positions. And that has me worried as far as just not getting enough people to officiate high school basketball games. It's pretty sad. It's such a great sport. But people are afraid to get into officiating because of how terrible the fans can be, how terrible sometimes they can be treated from fans and from student section, sometimes from even players and coaches. And, you know, we've seen this. We've seen, things on social media. But sadly, it's not like, oh, that's a once in a while thing that just happened to go viral on social media. Like, this is a normal thing. I'm watching game film around the United States for our Coaches Edge.coach members, and I'm seeing it in all these different states. There's not a lot of officials coming up, right? These are all guys that look like, mostly guys, right? We'd love to have more women officiating as well. That would definitely help. But we're seeing a lot of officials, and I just worry about the state of officiating for the great game of basketball in the United States. So props to all of our officials. Much love to you, much respect to you. Thank you for doing what you do. Man, it is so appreciated. Like, you are an integral, necessary part of this game, and it's a thankless position, because if everything goes well, nobody's going to say a thing about you. If you make a bunch of mistakes, everybody's going to be complaining to you. So thank you for what you do. And if you're a coach listening, boy, tell your players to respect the coaches. You yourself, obviously, respect the coaches, show them some love. And if you can, encourage people who are thinking about getting to officiating into doing it, because we need more good people officiating the great game of basketball at all levels. CoachesEdge.coachwise. We have a bunch of presentations. We have another 2-3 zone clinic that's about a half hour long. We're going to put up there pretty soon. We have our passer screener cutter drill. It's about 13-minute breakdown of a 3-on-0 series you can do to teach your players, give them different examples and teach points of how to pass screen and cut. It's a pretty cool video because it's just the recordings of me actually running it and demonstrating it at one of the camps that I ran this summer. And I ran it at 9 or 10 different camps throughout the course of the summer. It was a hit at every one. Many of the coaches, after they saw it, they said, man, we're doing that this season. I'm stealing that one, which was pretty cool. So all of our coaches in our membership can get access to that. If you're listening to this already, you'll already have access to it. So thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. Anything I can do for you, please let me know. Curious about our membership, coachesedge.coach. Jump in. A lot of exciting stuff that I continue to work on. And man, I love watching so many games throughout the course of the season. So have a great year. Stay healthy. Let me know if you need anything. Get after today.